Have you ever heard anybody say, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere? You ever heard that? As long as you're sincere about your religion, it really doesn't matter what you believe. Is that true? You can be sincerely wrong. Sincerity is not what salvation is all about. Jesus Christ is what salvation is all about. Jesus. We need Jesus. Now, Paul was sincere. He had the Word of God, but he didn't know Jesus was a fulfillment of those Old Testament scriptures.
Faith is not an achievement, it is a gift, yet it comes through the hearing and the teaching of God's Word. Today, from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey will encourage us not to be ashamed of our testimony of Jesus Christ, because after all, Jesus is the only way and the only person that can give us eternal life. Our study time takes us in the book of Acts, and we'll be considering how the Spirit of God empowered the people of God for the work of ministry to reach their world for Christ. Today we'll be looking at Acts chapter 8, and we'll consider two men that were filled by the Holy Spirit and were used in unique ways to influence people for Christ. So with today's broadcast from Faith to Faith, here's Pastor Henry.
Acts chapter 8. In the preceding chapter, we saw the martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr in the church. And many men and women have given their lives for Jesus Christ throughout the ages. There's a book written called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And if you've ever read that book, I read that book periodically, and I just read it and weep. When you read those stories of the people that had given their lives for Jesus Christ, that have been martyred. The word martyr actually just means witness. As we studied, as we've gone through this book of Acts, if you are his witness, Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth." That word witness there, "you shall be witnesses of me," that's the same as martyr. So if you're a witness of Jesus Christ, you're actually a martyr for him. But some martyrs for him are called to give their life. And we have that in the book of Acts. And we saw last week that Stephen was stoned, giving a tremendous testimony of against the Sanhedrin, against the ruling authorities there in Jerusalem, how they had delivered Jesus over to be crucified. And he told them they always resisted God. They resisted God when God sent Joseph. They resisted God when God sent Moses. And they always resisted God. And so this so heavily convicted them that they stoned Stephen. And they put him to death. And there was a young man there who was had the clothes of all the people that were stoning Stephen. And his name was Saul. And Saul watched all of this. And Saul, later, as we go through the book of Acts, Saul will become the great apostle Paul, but he was totally approving of the death of Stephen. Paul was zealous for the Lord, and he thought this new thing of these Christians, they didn't call them Christians in those days, but of this thing of following Jesus of Nazareth, he thought it was totally wrong. And so he was persecuting the early Christians. And yet Paul, or Saul, when God gets a hold of his heart, he will become the greatest of the Christians. I'll tell you what, that makes me look, and I see people who are so antagonistic and so hateful against the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I just pray for them. I pray for them. I don't get mad and angry and go away and huff. I pray for them. I think that might be the next Apostle Paul. That might be the next Paul. And so we never know what's going on inside of a person's heart when we see hatred and them spewing out venom. Paul was doing that. But when Jesus got hold of him, there was nobody that loved Jesus like Paul. Oh, it's an awesome story, the life of Paul. So here in chapter 8, verse 1, it says Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul was a part of this, said, yes, he deserves to die. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. So this great persecution that arose against the church, we will see later that this caused the church to be scattered, interestingly enough. They were a Jerusalem church primarily in these early days. They were there in Jerusalem. People were getting saved in Jerusalem. And they hadn't really gone out from that place except maybe into the countryside, into Judea. But this caused them, as we'll see later in this chapter, to spread on out, to go to Samaria. And then finally they will go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so here, persecution. God spreads the church, gets them out of Jerusalem. Sometimes God has to get us off of our places of comfort where we're seated. And get us moving. And that's what he did with his persecution now. So he scattered them. Now, it says in verse 2 here, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They wept over Stephen. This is an important verse here, very important verse. It's just kind of tucked in there, making this comment that these people wept over Stephen. It is biblical, it is scriptural when you lose a loved one to weep. A few years ago, there was this teaching in the body of Christ that Now we know when they die and they go to heaven, that's also a thing to rejoice about. I don't want to be misunderstood here. It is a thing to rejoice about. Oh, my dad died in 1986. I wept when my dad died. But I know he's with the Lord. He's in heaven. So now I rejoice in that. But at the time I wept because I missed him. I missed him. And so weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It is biblical. It is scriptural to weep when you lose a loved one. I was about to say that there was this foolish teaching going around a few years ago. Oh, if you know your loved one's in heaven, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? And we had this pressure on people to put on a smiley face at their, my wife just died. Isn't this wonderful? And they'd go to funerals pretending they were happy. You know, that's a lie. Don't live a lie. Weep. Cry with the Lord. The Lord knows your heart. It's okay to cry. You miss them. Yes, they're with the Lord. And there's nothing greater than being with the Lord. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of his saints, he tells us in Psalm 119. Yes, it's a precious thing to the Lord. And we will eventually see it that way. And we also know Romans 8:28 says that all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Because that scripture is there, does that mean I never have a bad day? I never get upset. I always put on this pretense that I'm always happy and say, oh, praise the Lord for this. Sometimes it's hard to praise the Lord. God wants you to be real with him. Be honest. Don't be a phony. Don't get caught up in those kinds of things. These people wept when Stephen was killed. Yes, he was with the Lord. It's a beautiful scene. He looked up into heaven. He said, I see the heavens open. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God, ready to receive him into heaven. And they stoned him and he died. And he went into heaven. They knew he went. They knew where he went, but says they wept. They made great lamentation over him. So when you're in a time that calls for weeping, weep. There is a time for all things, Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for joy. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time for weeping. So it's appropriate at times. Now, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope, the scriptures tell us. We have great hope in the Lord. But there is that time for all things. So these men were not unspiritual men. These men loved the Lord. And it says they made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Saul, persecuting the church. I want to ask you a question. Was Saul, or later Paul, was he sincere? He was sincere, wasn't he? Have you ever heard anybody say, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere? You ever heard that? As long as you're sincere about your religion, it really doesn't matter what you believe. Is that true? You can be sincerely wrong. Sincerity is not what salvation is all about. Jesus Christ is what salvation is all about. Jesus. We need Jesus. Now, Paul was sincere. He had the Word of God, but he didn't know Jesus was a fulfillment of those Old Testament scriptures. And so he's throwing people in prison, committing them into prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. Now, that's the interesting thing. The offshoot of all of this, of all this persecution, all this difficulty in the church is they went everywhere preaching the Word. I love that. You know, Satan found out early that he couldn't destroy the church. He tried with persecution in this early church. He killed Christians right and left. The Roman emperors killed Christians right and left. There were millions and millions of people that died in the first two or three centuries after Christ. Satan found out something. He couldn't destroy the church. You know what he did then? He joined it. Can't do it from outside, so we'll do it from inside. So he joined the church. He made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. And that is where we get Catholicism that lasted for so many years. Now, I'm not saying all of Catholicism is evil, but there are some very, very unscriptural, unbiblical things that were brought in by the Catholic Church. I know some saved Catholics, by the way, But it takes an extra effort to get saved there. So Satan joined the church, and he established a priesthood, which is ungodly, unscriptural. You are priests, the Bible says. You are individual priests unto God. You're a kingdom of priests. You don't need a priest over you to be a go-between between you and God, except Jesus. He's our great high priest. You don't need to go to a man to confess your sins to a man. You go to God and confess your sins to God. They put a lot of unbiblical things in there, and that's brought in by Satan. I'll call it what it is. It's demonic. Anything that comes between you and God is demonic, that separates you from God, that you can't go directly to him. So they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Now Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Here they go, gone down to Samaria. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now Philip, wait a minute. This guy's only a deacon. He was a deacon serving in the church. And we had Stephen was a deacon, right? These two men were both deacons. Stephen was the first martyr. Now Philip is a deacon. He served faithfully in the office of a deacon. And guess what? God made him an evangelist. We're going to see a great revival down here in Samaria. So Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Again, doing miracles. This guy is not even a pastor. I mean, I love it. God has commissioned you. I'm not commissioning you. I'm just telling you to go do what God has told you to do. Here's Philip now. He goes down and he's doing miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. And notice something. He's teaching and preaching Christ, and the miracles follow the teaching of the word. And so they gave heed to those things which he spoke, seeing and hearing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed within. The demons were being cast out. And many that were taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Oh, isn't that something? Oftentimes we see that. Following persecution, there is great joy in that city. The result of the preaching of the gospel in this city. From persecution to joy. The Great Commission is that we're to go into all the world. Our number one thing is that we are to fellowship with God. That we study his word. That we're in his word. That we learn to pray. And that we fellowship here with one another. And as a part of the body of Christ, and do all those things that are commanded in scriptures. But the Great Commission is that we go into all the world, that we go into all the world and take the gospel. And you know, God is raising up so many children in this church. And my prayer is that some of these children, we got a lot of young men coming up. God has given us so many boys for some reason. My prayer is that some of these boys are going to be pastors, and maybe some of them will be missionaries, taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Back to our story now. So there was great joy in that city in verse 8, in chapter 8 of Acts. And it says there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So here in the midst of all of this, there is a sorcerer. And this guy previously had a lot of respect, or he had a lot of respect among the people of Samaria. He was able to do magic and all kinds of things, and they thought he was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. They thought he had God's power. He was doing all kinds of magic and things that looked like, well, maybe doing miracles. We know that Satan can do miracles. You remember the story of Moses? When Moses took his serpent in before Pharaoh and threw his staff down, it became a serpent. And what happened? Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. They threw their staffs down and they became serpents. So we go, whoa, how did he do that? I don't know. I have no clue, but I know they did it. Now, what happened? Moses' serpent swallowed up their serpents. So that's the thing we have to remember. Satan may be powerful, but our God is more powerful. Satan's got a little power. Our God's got all power. So his serpent swallowed up their serpents. So don't be impressed with miracles. Be careful with miracles. These people were impressed with this guy. He was doing these miracles. Oh, this is the great power of God. It might not be. Might not be. So here, they're respecting this man. Now to him they had regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So here we have a revival now. I guess a revival is when you are getting revived. Maybe this is when, what do you call it, the first time it happens? Anyway, I'm just going to call it a revival. They are, yeah, a revival is new life. And so they've got new life. These people are coming to Jesus. They're being born again, and there's excitement there. There's nothing more exciting than this. I've told you about the days when I was at Ground Zero at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and the Jesus people were just flowing into that church and getting saved, hundreds every night. I mean, it was mind-boggling to watch all these people coming to the Lord. And there's an excitement in the air about that. When you see that happening, I pray that God will do it with us someday. Not that we want numbers, but we want new life. We want to see people come to Jesus, get saved, come to the Lord, believe in Him, trust in Him. Oh, evangelism, this is so, so good, so powerful, so what our lives should be about. So they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, men and women. And that's a sign of them coming into the faith and believing in the Lord. Baptism doesn't save you. It's a sign that you belong to Jesus when you're baptized. Now, Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a rather interesting thing. This tells us something. It's possible for people to believe, get saved, be baptized, and not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you get saved, you do receive the Holy Spirit, but this is a particular ministry of the Holy Spirit that they're receiving here. You remember we talked about this in Acts chapter 1 and 2, how that before you're saved, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Bible teaches that. He is with you, Jesus said in John chapter 14. He shall be in you, he said. That's a different Greek word, in, when he comes in and you're born again. And then he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. A third Greek word that's used. When he comes upon you for empowerment, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when Peter and John came down, they saw a lack. And the lack was they were saved, they were baptized, and there was a great joy, but they weren't manifesting the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they saw that lack, and they realized they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it says here that Peter and John, when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon epi, none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it was manifested by something when they did this. We don't know what. It doesn't tell us that they spoke in tongues here. It does in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 10. They spoke in tongues, but it doesn't mention tongues here. But there was some sort of visible manifestation that they were baptized, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because Simon sees that and wants to buy it. We'll get that in a moment. But it could have been tongues. It could have been prophecy. We don't know exactly what manifestation it was. But there was some sort of visible manifestation, because verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Notice there's a couple of things here. Through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit was given. So sometimes God just does it when you're talking in the upper room there in Acts chapter 2. They were sitting there worshiping the Lord. The Holy Spirit came, a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord just did it. Nobody laid hands on them except for the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 10, when Peter is in the house of Cornelius, the same thing. He's talking to them about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. And in Acts chapter 19, when Paul is there with the Ephesians, he laid hands on them. So the laying on of hands is frequently done to receive the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have here. So Peter and John came, they laid hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was some sort of physical manifestation. Now Simon, the sorcerer, wants to buy this gift. He wants to buy the power to be able to do this. And so he offered them money, it says, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, magicians in those days would buy one another's tricks. So this idea there is not a foreign idea, really. If you were a magician, each of you had well-kept secrets. And you would get together, and if you say, I really like that trick you just did, and the guy would say, well, I'll sell it to you. And so you bought it for a price, and when you bought it for a price, you weren't going to give it away. And so that's how they kept their tricks, and the better the trick, the more you paid for it. So this would have probably been a really expensive trick here, but it wasn't one that was for sale, okay? But Simon, in that mentality, I don't think he knew he was dealing with the God of the universe here. He'd been used to dealing with God with a little g, with demon power, but suddenly he's dealing with the God of the universe. You don't buy the God of the universe's power. That's the message here. And so he said, give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, your money perish with you. Your money perish with you, Simon, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And so what he had spoken, that your money perish and you perish. And so he says, oh, pray that this won't happen to me. And so, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Simon tried to buy it. Simon got judged. Now, several issues are raised here in this. This is fascinating. This is a fascinating portion of Scripture because it says in verse 13, Simon also believed and was baptized. There is a belief that's not unto salvation. It's possible to have head knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's possible to actually say, yes, I believe, and have a head knowledge and think you believe and even be baptized and not be saved. Baptism doesn't save us. This is another proof text. Baptism does not save. Simon was not saved. He had all the, he was saying the right things and doing the right things, but he was not born again. He was not born again. Now, these other people, I believe that this is a great work of God there in Samaria. Philip was evangelizing these people. Many believed, but Simon was not among the believers. So he had a head knowledge, but that's not a heart knowledge. It's got to be a heart knowledge. We sing that song, When Jesus Came Into My Heart. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. It tells us in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're forgiven of our sins. With the heart, man believes unto salvation. So someone said the difference between heaven and hell is 18 inches. You might have a head knowledge and still be hell-bound if you don't have that heart knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you're never born again, if you never really truly believe. And here Simon was watching all of this, becoming a part of it, looking how he might profit off of it. There are people that go to churches today that are there because they want to profit off of it. They're looking to make business contacts. How they might profit. What's the difference? I don't see much difference. I don't see any difference. Jesus is not something that we're to profit off of. He'll provide for all of your needs when you serve him. He'll be there for you. So Simon, now, Peter discerned that he was not born again, not saved. And he said, your gifts and your money perish with you. Now Simon prayed. He said, pray that none of these things, or he asked Peter to pray, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. Now, it wasn't like he was repentant. He didn't say, pray that my heart would be changed, that I might truly believe in Jesus, that I might be released from this bond of iniquity, from the bond of Satan. He didn't pray for that. He said, oh, I don't want any of these things to happen to me. Pray for that. So he wanted to be protected from the penalty of sin without having the forgiveness of sin, without truly being born again. And we do have people that way today. We have people that way today. We have people in jails. I go and visit them occasionally. That are sorry they got caught. But are they truly sorry for their sins? Are they truly repentant? Some are, some are not. So he tried to buy this gift and got judged. Powerful, powerful portion of Scripture. Peter said in another place, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You know, that's what it's about. We can give Jesus. We may not have a lot of money, but we can give him Jesus.
Well, when people have an unbiblical view of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, then they will end up like Simon the sorcerer, as we've been learning on today's program, From Faith to Faith, as Pastor Henry has been teaching us in Acts chapter 8. And if you're interested in knowing more about the radio ministry, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, that's 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Gainey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Thomasville in Georgia. With all my soul, Lord, I love you.
soul with all my heart.